Oi, oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast, sponsored by Carol Angley Florist, with myself, Steve Nussbaum. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend, myself, Stan Chum, the bearded legendary. He's back. It's the one and only, the daddy-o, Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome back, everybody. Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever and whatever time you're listening to us. Welcome. This is episode number 354. Thanks to everyone who tuned into last week's show, and a special mention to Chris, who I thought did absolutely fantastic. Very articulate, made some really interesting points as well. This week, as we move on, unfortunately, we've got a bit of a terrible game to review in Fleetwood at home, our last home game of the season. We've got the week that was, and also waiting for us on the line at the moment is Matt Simpson. He is West Stando, and he's co-produced a podcast series called The Circus Upstairs. And if you haven't heard about it, he's here to tell you all about it, and that will come up in just a moment. But as always, we start with a word from our sponsors.
We certainly do. So the podcast is sponsored by Carol Langley Florist. We're based in Chingford and have served the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for over the last 70 years. As you know by now, they've got a fantastic team there, can do anything for you, from bespoke wedding events to family funeral tributes, birthdays, anniversaries, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, end of season commiseration, bouquets. They can do it all for you, and it gets better. They offer all O's fans and staff 15% off, which is a great deal that you should be looking to take advantage of. So if you want to do that, you can get in touch. You can call the shop on 0208 529 4130. You can have a look at their website, www.carollangley.co.uk. Or you can find the team on social media across all the platforms. They're on Instagram at Carol Langley Florist. They're on Twitter at Carol Langley E4. Or you can find the guys on Facebook and the Carol Langley Florist.
Indeed. So let's move on to our guest of honour, Matt Simpson. Welcome back to the Orient Outlook podcast. We were talking just before we started recording. It was nearly about 300 episodes ago when we recorded in the Supporters Club, if my memory serves me well. Welcome back. Thanks very much for coming on. For those that perhaps may not know you, tell us how you came to support Orient. What was your journey to supporting Orient, and kind of what's kept you supporting us?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's an honour to be back on what is clearly a much better podcast than the one me and James Masters have just produced. So,
don't believe that for one second.
How did I start supporting Orient? My dad supported Orient. He got me into it at an age that I was so young, I didn't quite realise where Orient's standing was in the whole sort of ecosystem of football, and have been stuck with them ever since. After a while, I started to see it as a badge of honour, and actually with all my mates supporting Premier League teams, I actually felt it was, it made me stand out a bit to support a club who were clearly rubbish.
So other people might know you as the writer of the fantastic blog that you've done and was very popular and is still popular, When You Do It, Matt. So how did the blog come about?
That's a long time ago. That was maybe 14 years ago I started doing that. I just enjoy writing, and I thought it would be nice to have a slightly alternative take on each game and not take itself too seriously. So yeah, I enjoyed doing those for a while.
What are your thoughts on this season? As we're recording now, we've literally just got one game left to go, so you know nothing drastic's going to change, especially next week. Thoughts? Better than where we were? What right about you thought where we'd end up? How did you think that this would go?
Yeah, I would have been very happy at the start of the season to have not been relegated. So I think finishing 10th or 11th or 12th or wherever we end up, I'm perfectly happy with. Even that run after Christmas, where we were in touch and distance of the playoffs, I never would have expected that. I really enjoyed that sort of 2-month ride. So I'm really happy with where we've ended up. I think we've been pretty unlucky with injuries this season. I imagine next season, with all of our squad fit, that actually we should be in with a good shout. So I'll probably come back and those words will haunt me as we're fighting relegation. But at the moment, I feel quite positive.
There's probably quite a few you could choose from, but any standout players for you for the season, Matt? Anyone who's caught your eye?
When he's been fit, I've loved Dan Adjaye. If he can play all season next season, I think he's going to have a really strong season. He's a great player. But actually, just imagine having Archibald, Jordan Graham, Ollie O'Neill to choose from in a sort of front three. That's a pretty impressive front three.
And then Adjaye as the striker up top. There's pace, there's power. Yeah.
Galbraith as well has got better and better all season. Like the last few games, he's been fantastic. I don't know if you noticed on Saturday, he played in about 8 different positions. Every time a sub came on, he got moved. But he's a great player.
Absolute utility man. We had quite a few loan signings this season as well. The likes of Shaq Ford and Idris El Mazouni, for instance, Sol Brin as well. Any of those that you think, actually, do you know what, if they're going out on loan next season, you'd like them back or not fast?
I'd always have El Mazouni back, but I fear 2 years is probably the most we're going to get out of him. Brin's a young goalkeeper. Like, he's done all right. He's a great shot stopper, isn't he? But he's looked a bit shaky on crosses the last few games. I would always prefer a more experienced keeper.
So let's go on to the podcast then, Matt. So now you're a fellow podcaster. I guess as a starting point, what made you and James want to start a podcast? And why, I guess, on the, I guess, most torturific, even if that's a word, point in the club you support's history?
Yeah, it was during the first lockdown and we both found we had more time.
Oh, we've just lost Matt.
And I think it was my idea. I was like, should we just do something that focuses on those 3 crazy seasons under Pochetti? Because we felt there were so many stories to be told around that. Like, so many crazy things that happened. You know, so many awful things that happened, but also a lot of funny things that happened. And just thought, let's just try and talk to a few people behind the scenes who were more intimately associated with what went on. I think as fans, we knew some of the stuff, obviously, but we thought it'd be really interesting not just to talk to the players and managers, which we did do, but to talk to people at the club behind the scenes. So we talked to Kitman Aidan Martin, you know, we talked to Matt Porter himself, we talked to Phil Othen, the stadium announcer at the time. So yeah, lots and lots more people behind the scenes. And the more we talked to people, the more the stories came to life. And we just sort of kept going. So I appreciate it's quite a long time since the start of the lockdown. And only now all 14 episodes are out. But yeah, the more we dug into the story, the more we just found out quite how crazy a time it was and quite how bad some of the things that went on were.
Without giving too much away, I mean, I know you've done it over 2 seasons, if you like. Was there anything that really stood out that was like, did that really happen? Like, are you joking here? Was there any kind of like standout, gotcha kind of moments that you think, oh my God, how did that even come about? How did that even happen? And can you tell us about one of them?
Yeah. I mean, so many things, to be honest. I mean, let me start with Alessandro Angileri, who you guys had on your podcast, and he's clearly a really lovely guy, and actually everyone who spoke about him said what a nice guy he was, but I don't think there could be anyone in a job more out of their depth than Alessandro, and just some of the stuff that came out about him. So we talked to Tom Jeffs, the commercial manager, who had a lot of day-to-day dealings with Alessandro, and just some crazy stories about him just turning up again. Let's just close the club shop, we don't need that, do we? There's no evidence that merchandising is a revenue stream for football clubs. Let's get rid of that. He I think took a holiday in the first season over Christmas because he didn't realise there were fixtures being played. He wanted to, I think he was curious as to why we had to have 3 different coloured strips. Why can't we just play in red every season? I mean, crazy stuff with him. Quite a few stories about Alberto Cavacin, who was, listeners will, I'm sure, remember one of the short-lived managers in Bochetti's reign, a 60-year-old Italian manager, couldn't speak English, no experience of the English game, had been out of management for 5 years in Italy, let alone anything else. He tried to blame Orient's poor form on the fact that one of the local journalists hadn't split up with her boyfriend and was telling the players to play with a knife between their teeth. Tried to substitute one of the substitutes because he got confused who the players were. Yeah, that was quite a crazy time. But I think right at the end, the very last episode, if you can't stomach all of them, just listen to this one, because we spoke to Marshall Taylor, one of the board members now, but who was actually interim CEO as soon as the club was sold from Bochetti. And what he found when he went in there in those first few days was staggering, the ineptitude, the the wanton sort of waste of money, the things that the club was spending money on. He found that many of the staff had racked up like £7,000 a month of mobile phone bills just because no one had bothered to phone up Vodafone and just change the contract to include calls to Europe. So just the crazy sort of waste that was going on was incredible to hear.
So we do this podcast on a weekly basis, and it's quite a cathartic process if you've had a bad result or the week hasn't gone so well as an Norwich fan. Have you found the process of the circus upstairs to be similar? Has it given you a sense of, like, I guess, closure of that time if you didn't already have that?
I think it has. And do you know what? Like, through all the bad things that happened, through the last season that we've just published, there's such an amazing story of fans coming together in really, really difficult circumstances when the very existence of Orient was threatened, coming together, you know, paying money out of their own pockets to pay the players and staff who weren't being paid, you know, turning up at court when we had a winding up order, like doing everything they could to try and save the club. And actually not just Orient fans, you know, fans across the whole football community. And I think it really, really helps illustrate what a special club Orient is, what a community it is, what a family it is. And actually, when we went through those really, really bad times, that really, really came to the fore. So actually, going through the process of making a podcast and talking to some of those people involved, you know, one of our interviewees was Bobby Friedman, who was a barrister, an Orient fan, who gave up all his time for free to basically lead our legal defence against the winding up order, was there in court defending Orient. So it's those type of everyday fans that, you know, were giving up their time, massively committed to saving the club. So actually I came out of it feeling that Orient was an even more special club than I thought it was, and that actually that amazing sort of sense of coming together and community was a really special thing.
It'd be one of the most endearing, long-serving tales or sort of aspects that's come out of that period, actually, I think. So it's good that you're retelling it. So tell us, you've launched it in two sort of different sets. So is the first set of podcasts that you've launched, is that season one under the name that we don't mention? And this is like the second half of his tenure? How's it structured? What can people expect?
We launched it in three seasons, actually. So three, it was okay. For each of the seasons that Becchetti was in control.
Gotcha.
I used the word control very loosely there. But in control of Orient.
Perfect. Okay. So where can people listen to it then, Matt? Let's give it a big plug. So available, I guess, on all podcasting platforms?
It is available on all podcasting platforms. I don't know. I just feel like it's a story that needed to be told. And, you know, there's some really bad stuff that happens, but there's a lot of levity in it. There's a whole episode on the failed reality show. There's just some really, really interesting stories from people behind the scenes. So for me, that was fascinating. And yeah, I hope Orient fans find it interesting too. There's a bit of me and James around it that you can ignore, but the interviewees are brilliant.
I guess to finish, and it's, you know, that's done. And I guess you've said the circus upstairs is done. It's finished. The 14 episodes are in the can. They're all available. What's next in the podcasting world for Matt Simpson and James Masters?
Nothing. I'm going to leave it to the experts. Like, just everyone carry on listening to Orient Outlook and the many other podcasts. Listen to the circus upstairs, and then that's finished. And there won't be any more podcasts for me and James.
So thank you very much indeed to Matt Simpson, that is at Westando on social media, for joining us there, telling us all about the times that we really unfortunately went through. But actually, like he said, there's a lot of tales of people sort of in the coming together and the camaraderie amongst the fans that I think will leave a lasting impact on those that were around and you know, cognizant of what was going on. So yeah, it's good, and I'm going to be listening to that over the course of the summer.
Yeah,
as well.
Same here. I mean, it's very easy to forget, although it seems like a long time ago, I guess in the whole stratosphere of Orient's history, that wasn't long ago whatsoever.
Correct.
It was only a couple of years ago, and it's very easy, I guess, at the moment to look at 10th place and be very disappointed of where Orient are in League One and where a few fans are. But in hindsight, where the club were 6 years ago, at this point 6 years ago, where it looked like they might not even be here, or 5 years ago, even in 2019. It's crazy.
But yeah, like we were just talking before we started recording, weren't we? 10 years ago, we were in the playoff finals, coming to the playoff finals, right? Or going through the playoffs to go into the championship, right? And then that ended. So it's literally within recent memory and recent time. So the fact that he's got people like Tom Jeffs and Phil Othern and Ada and Lindsay, like some people that aren't at the club anymore, they managed to find the barrister. Like, literally, that's going to be stuff that's probably never been spoken out loud about.
Yeah, and it's hard to do a podcast. So anyone listening, to do it on a weekly basis is difficult, but to do all those interviews, to edit them. I mean, he was talking about the idea came across in the first lockdown, which was taken a while to get them all out.
2020, yeah, so
4 years ago.
Commend James and Matt. I'm definitely going to listen to that at some point. I don't think I'm quite ready to go into 100%. That world yet. But when I do, I'm sure I will enjoy it, I guess, in a...
I'm really looking forward to it because of the people they've got on it. Yeah. Absolutely. And the sorts of questions and the sorts of, you know, things like Alessandro. One of my standouts of memories of Alessandro, like, he sat here in your kitchen when we were recording. Do you remember? He came
That's
here.
The only interview he's done. He's not on...
And he was talking about the water bill because the toilet, I just don't know why, but the toilets in the stands like ran all week long, and he was trying to save some money by not having them run. And there you hear him talking about hear Matt talking about how they were spending $7,000 a month on phone bills, and that he's trying to save a few quid on water.
I mean, the only interview Alessandro ever done was on the podcast, which is still available. So if there are any new listeners who have never listened to that and want to go back for a piece of history, I mean, it's a bonkers interview. He says he basically promises the world and delivers nothing in it, but was a very nice guy at the same time. He was very courteous when he came around.
And I think if you peel it off and look at it, I think he was just a nice guy that happened to know not so nice guy with a load of money that then got launched into this position, like Matt said, that was unbelievably out of his depth and inappropriate position to be in.
Yeah, didn't have a clue.
Absolutely.
All right.
So let's move on.
Let's move on. Supporters Club updates. All right.
Final one.
Final away trip. Everyone's on the way to Shrewsbury Town next weekend, Saturday 27th of April. Coaches leave very early for this one. The game kicks off at 12:30. The coaches leave at 6:30. It's £37 for adults, £34 for concessions, and children aged 15 or under go for £19. And very important to remember, those prices do not include your matchday ticket, which you will need to get into Gay Meadow. All right, to book for this trip, you need to call the travel line now, as there are no more home fixtures. So give Malcolm a call on 07507 539 579 to book your place for the final away game of the season. And hopefully those go out in a blaze of glory. Away to Shrewsbury Town, who are now safe after getting a point yesterday or winning yesterday. They had something yesterday that basically secures their status in League One for another season. So they've got nothing to play for,
which is
a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a bit of a dead rubber game, unfortunately. Fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you kind of want to have a look at it. Yeah, they're going to end the season sort of 48-ish points, which means that Cheltenham on 41, they're all down. Cheltenham, Fleetwood, Portgar and Clough, all done and dusted. So, Steve...
All right,
you do another podcast.
I do. So I feel like all we've done so far is plug other podcasts. We're going to do that for me. So another blast from the past for O's fans. Ex-media manager Johnny Davis I had on my podcast, the Fantastable podcast. Johnny is now in a band called Turncoat Billy. Very, very good. I infuse all of you to go and listen to Turncoat Billy after you listen to this podcast. They got a new single out on Wednesday, the 1st of May, called Wonder Goal at Wadden, which is based on a real-life non-league goal that was scored in the 70s by one of Johnny's mate's dads. The tune is fantastic. Anyway, he's on the podcast talking all about the band, his musical taste, memories, and his fantasy festival that's very closely affiliated to Leyton Orient Football Club and is bound to make you smile. So if you know Johnny or don't, give that a listen after you listen to this. That'd be much appreciated. And you might find another new podcast to listen to.
Yeah, on all podcast platforms.
Everywhere you go. Fantastic.
Putting on a show. So let's move on then to the week that was. And just as Steve and Chris finished recording episode 353 last Sunday evening, it's soon after announced that Lindsay Martin had won Club Employee at the EFL Awards. So well done to Lindsay. Long overdue recognition of her hard work. I think she's been at the club nearly 30 years now. So absolutely outstanding. And she's super humble. Like when I saw her Exeter, the game at Exeter, I said, oh, congratulations. And she's like, big smile on her face. And like, you can tell she's just really humbled by it. Like, she didn't expect to win it. I'm sure the other two people that were also nominated, the other two ladies, were equally as deserving.
Yeah.
But all thrilled. No one is more deserving than our Lindsay.
Yeah, well done, Lindsay. Lovely video to clap it out on the Monday morning from everyone on the board and Richie and the summer squad. I think Dan Prattley was on it thanking Lindsay for all her hard work and telling her, well done. All right, happy Monday, then 15th of April. Happy 28th birthday to O's defender, Tom James. Hope you had a lovely day, Tom.
Yeah, and another birthday on Tuesday, Tahui Tuesday, the 16th of April, one of our friends in the South Stand, Ed Morgan. Hope you had a great day as well.
Absolutely. All right. On Tuesday, the club opened the voting for the goal of the season. Lots of nominees for this one. We're going to mention them first up. Goal A, Ruel Satuyu versus Exeter City away. As we all know, last minute goal, takes it well, bang into the bottom corner, decent finish.
It's all right finish. I think the keeper should have done better, but, you know, we'll take that. Rob Hunt's goal against Northampton, that was an easy shot from the edge of the box after a nice team move. I looked at that and I was like, okay, but we scored three brilliant goals against Cheltenham and that takes that takes the shot over, that takes a spot over one of those goals.
It's a very good team goal. It's very good movement the whole way. I think it's like a 37 pass move. I think you've got too used to Wellings' ball. Shaq Ford follows out versus Wigan Athletic. Top curler into the top bins. Lovely finish there.
Yeah, and Theo's goal against Bolton's another one.
Yeah, good finish there. Where else to you? This is not based on the goal. This is based on the euphoria. I remember this. And this might go on to win it, I think, even though it's not the best standalone goal. But for the feeling, where else to you's last minute goal against Northampton Town is just pure wins. Yeah, great goal.
George Moncur's goal against Oxford is also in the mix.
Yeah, Ethan Galbraith's recent goal against Peterborough United. Lovely on the volley from a Jaden Sweeney cross.
Yeah, and then Ollie O'Neill's goal against Cheltenham Town, which was a great curler of an effort.
Lots of nominees there. I guess it gets announced at this Starman. Week at Starman at some point. I can't call that one. There's not a clear winner for me. There's not a standout goal between them. There's not one that shouts, give me the goal. I think Royal might nick it for Northampton. But so based got, on the feeling.
On the feelings, you've got Ollie O'Neill because that's spectacular, or you've got Ruel's from distance or the nice team move for Rob Hunt's goal.
Yeah, we'll
There's
see.
There's a bit of a good mixture. We've been a bit spoiled, actually.
We'll see what happens with that one. All right, Wednesday, the 17th of April, recent guest on the podcast, Jordan Graham, posted on his social media that he'd had a further operation on his knee as he continues his rehabilitation. He was at Wembley watching Manchester United.
Coventry, I think.
We wish you a continued... He was in the Man United, didn't he?
Was he?
Yes. Okay. So he was a naughty boy. I'm pretty sure he must be a United fan to get in there. We'll see. But good point. He's from Midlands, isn't he? We wish Jordan a continued speedy recovery. Hope to see him back on the first day of pre-season.
We absolutely do. Thursday, the 18th of April, a year ago to the day, in what turned out to be a crazy night in the rickety stand in Gillingham in Kent, an Omar Beckles red card, a power cut, meant a delay in playing a game that we ended up losing 2-0, but ultimately didn't care because we got promoted back to League One.
Amazing night. What a night. Brilliant. Blagged a ticket on the morning of the game. Great day. Match was great as well, to be fair. We were dominating until Omar got sent off. But yeah, once we knew we were going up, fantastic. So that was a year.
Such a weird situation. Only Orient could be in that situation.
Ridiculous.
Lose the game, still go up. Lose the game, confirmation that you go up in a power cut.
Brilliant.
Do you think we had another power cut fairly recently as well, if I remember right?
They did. They can't keep power there.
No.
Funny. All right. Also on Thursday, a controversial move saw the FA and the Premier League announce they had agreed a deal to scrap FA Cup replays from the first round onwards from the next oncoming season, which obviously caused an instantaneous reaction. More on that to follow very shortly.
Indeed. Friday 19th of April, the club and Matt Harrell jointly announced that the Ginger Pele is going to be leaving Leyton Orient after 7 years. This summer, he's going to leave to join AFC Bournemouth, and he's going to be involved with sorting out the loans and elite pathways for their young pros. I mean, kudos to Matt. He's had such a great impact. I don't think he realises what sort of an impact he's had. The consistency that he's brought when we were in and out of, when he was in and out of the squad as a player, the consistency that he brought when we changed managers and he led the team for a couple of games. I remember Colchester, one in particular. Absolutely outstanding. Great character. Great guy. He's going to be a loss for us, but Bournemouth's win.
Yeah, I mean, amazing opportunity for Matt. I didn't, no disrespect to Matt Howell, but I didn't think he'd end up at a Premier League club, I think, quite candidly. But amazing opportunity, like you say, a big personality, but also an opportunity, I guess, to bring in some fresh blood and revitalise it a bit. Matt's obviously been in the part of the coaching staff for the last 3 to 4 years. Like, we had him on when he was released as a player and before he became part of the coaching staff, and he didn't know where his future lied at that point, although he wanted to come back. So he's done amazingly well. I imagine this might have had a hand in us signing Dan Aduadje from Bournemouth, and I imagine that there'll be more Bournemouth connections now.
Possibly.
If the Premier League are looking to loan players who aren't quite ready for Championship and League One, I imagine we would get offered the majority of those players.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there might have been an Arsenal connection there.
Yeah.
But look, yeah, he's done amazingly, not only as a coaching staff, but like you said, as a player. Big loss.
Big loss. Big character.
Hopefully goes on to be a big success, and, you know, his career only goes up from here.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, stepping stone into bigger things, bigger Premier League club maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I hear he's moving all his family down to Bournemouth. I think Richie said in his interview, I think he says, or in the release announcement, that it's more money for him, security for his family. Yeah. So it's exactly what you need. Okay, so we mentioned on Thursday about the controversial FA and Premier League announcement relating to the FA Cup replays being stopped from the first round next season. The club put out their statement regarding the aforementioned replay, and the club said they are extremely disappointed with the recent decision made by the FA and the Premier League to dispense with FA Cup replays from the first round. Obviously, that is just a sentence out of it. They joined the likes of Peterborough, they joined the likes of Tranmere in putting out a statement. We took a little bit longer than those guys did, but I think the tone of it all was absolutely spot on. I think Mark Devlin's comments were absolutely brilliant. I thought it was a tremendous statement. And hopefully they hopefully the FA see the wrong of what they've done and right that wrong.
It's a big change for some EFL clubs from next season. Obviously got Sky Sports coming in, so it's not going to be a Saturday 3 o'clock is what we're used to. It's going to be all over the place from next season.
God, I hope
FA not. Cup replays all over the place, or not taking place, shall we say. It's going to be a weird few years with the amount of money and power that some people have in the footballing world. All right, Saturday the 20th of April, the youth team were in action at home to Portsmouth and went a goal behind in the 25th minute as the first half ended 1-0 to the visitors.
The Young O's equalised in the 54th minute, though. Great play by Avgustidis, drove down the left, found Sterling, who finished at the back post to make it 1-1, but the visitors retook the lead very shortly after.
They did. The O's on went to level the game after good effort from Avgustidis was spilled by the keeper, and Anduan Hadjidini, which is a new name on me, I've not mentioned him before, tapped home, made it 2-2. And although we had one cleared off the line very late on, that's how the game finished. So 2-2, home to Portsmouth. Not a bad result at all for those Young O's who are flying at the moment.
Absolutely spot on. But the main event of the day was Fleetwood Town at home. We ran our Twitter poll, as we usually do before the game, see how you think we'd go on. We only had 189 votes on this one, but 7% of those thought we'd draw, 12 thought we'd lose, but a whopping 81% were wrong, thinking that we would win this one. So thanks to everyone who's taken the time to vote.
All right, at 2 p.m. the team was announced with Sol Brilliant in goal, with Tom James, Omar Beckles, Jack Simpson and Rob Hunt making up the back four, with Jordan Brown, Zach Obiero, Ethan Galbraith, Shaq Ford, Ollie O'Neill and Dan Adji making up the rest of the 11. And on the bench we had Sam Howes, Dan Happy, Darren Prattley, Max Sanders, George Moncur, Dan Aduadje and Joe Piggott.
Yeah, that meant Richie Wellens made 3 changes from the team that lost to Derby last weekend. Dan Adji making his first start since January in our final home game of the season. And for me, pretty much as I thought, to be fair, I got, I think, 9 out of 11 on my Fan Hub prediction. Good to see Dan back, Dan Adji back, and also good to see Dan Happy on the bench. While we have nothing to play for in the league, Fleetwood do, so we need to be professional at the same time. Some players need to show they're still worthy of being in our squad next season. That's regardless of whether they have a contract to be with us next season, I thought. Or those that perhaps will look into maybe return if they're on loan. And those that maybe are out of contract to show that they're worthy of being in his Richie's thoughts next season, because I think there's a few contracted players next season that probably ought to be moved on. To be perfectly honest, I know we're going to talk about that in our season roundup, so I won't say too much now. I think it's fairly obvious who those at least two of those players are. But like, we're playing a right back at right back and a left back at left back for once as well.
You like it? All right, me as mostly as I thought. I thought Adji might start this one, so happy to see him start. good to see Happy on the bench. I think he said originally he'd be back for Derby, so when he wasn't, you're like, okay, he'll end up on the bench sooner rather than later. Still lots of players missing for this one, so you still look at that, there's an awful lot of players missing, but decent team nonetheless. No Sweeney.
No.
No Edwards.
No.
So a few players who've been involved recently completely missing from there. Another big chance for Obiero, which is good to see. And yeah, really couldn't moan with that. So I was happy when that team was announced.
If I'd have listened to Rich's pre-match interview before the match, he said Aggie would start.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't listen to that either. No, I don't get time to do it when it comes out. So it was an obvious one if you'd have listened to that. But like you, I didn't either.
To be fair though, sometimes I lie in those interviews to throw the other team off, the opposition. So sometimes I say stuff and I only half believe it anyway. So yeah, good point. All right, a few tweets when that team was announced.
Yeah, Les LK52 said, I thought Howes might get some game time, especially after Brin's performance against Derby. Here's a good point. We were saying that a couple of weeks ago, how where we don't really have much to play for, that actually Sam Howes, who actually started to come good towards the end of the time that he got first choice after Sol Brin got injured, and that he ought to have perhaps been rewarded with his professionalism and done that. Maybe he'll be number one next season. Who knows?
I think Sam Howes has got big decisions to make in the summer. I think to me it's obvious he's number two. He's a Sam Sargent for the next 2 or 3 years. Is he happy at his age? He's a bit older, isn't he, than what Sam
26, 27.
Is he happy to be a number two and maybe get a look in once or twice a season, maybe for a League Cup? I mean, I don't remember Sam Howes playing at all when Sol Brin was available to play. I'm sure someone will correct me or not, but every time Brin's been fit enough to play, Brin has played.
Correct, yeah.
So Howes at his age might have a decision to make, but a good point there, nonetheless. Phil Veazey won. So like it, really pleased and excited to see both Dan and Zek starting. Come on, Orient.
Yeah, and Better Later Never said, I love a happy bench.
Everyone loves a happy bench.
Nice then pun.
Chin Wan said, diminishing chances to add points for our last home game against lowly place Fleetwood Town. A big team with good players like Stockley will make it hard. Be clinical, forward-thinking, speed, create chances, see out 90 minutes and defend well. Let's make the fans happy with a win.
Indeed. So, with the O's with nothing to play for but the points, our visitors knew a win would be the only way that they would avoid relegation, and even that might not be enough, depending on results elsewhere. So, the match kicked off in a chilly E10, which was quite a shock to the system, considering it was like mid to late April. And in the O's annual Justin Edinburgh 3 Foundation match.
So apart from wearing a T-shirt, I don't really know what else really happened, like, for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. Like, yeah, it'd be interesting to know what actually happens there. The players warming up wearing the JU3 shirts. George Moncur wore a very tight-fitted T-shirt, let me tell you, as he was warming up. Some of the shots as well, obviously, I don't think you were there, when they were taking shots at the goal, which is obviously right in front of the away fans, about 2 or 3 hit the away fans. One woman took a ball in the face.
Oh, I
think from Dan Adjou.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the shooting was very wayward from the players. It was a bit... I wouldn't say fun, but it got everyone's attention because they were flying everywhere. And this guy like ducked out of the way to miss an edgy shot and it just smacked this woman in the face. I hope she's alright wherever you are, this Fleetwood Town lady. I'm sure she's feeling better now. Anyway, let's crack on with the game in the 8th minute. The O's won a free kick in a decent position. Tom James stepped up to take it, but was denied by Lynch in the Fleetwood goal, who tipped the ball over for a corner. Decent free kick. That was definitely one for the cameras that Lynch pulled off there.
Yeah, so we'll skip to the 10th minute now, and after some back and forth across the Orient back line, Sol Brin launched the searching ball forward to the left for Ollie O'Neill, which he controlled absolutely superbly with his first touch. He eventually crossed the ball in the box, but Fleetwood cleared it out for a corner.
Yeah, 19th minute in, Tom James, who was a bit in trouble, crowded out by two players, somehow got the ball forward to release Zek Orbiero in midfield just inside his own half. Zek drove forward, kept going, opened up the space, had a shot well over the bar. Flew over the bar, actually.
Yeah, shame about the ending for that. I thought the run was great and well played, Tom James, for that ball. I thought that was absolutely superb. And Zek was my standout player yesterday. Right, just after the half-hour mark, some great build-up play that started with the aforementioned Zek Obiero in our midfield. He found Ollie O'Neill with a lovely crossfield pass. He passed it to Ethan Galbraith, got into the area, and his effort went just wide of the far post.
Good effort there. Yeah. Obviously, we sit in the south. So it's the goal right down the other end. That was closer than what it looked from where we were sitting. So on the highlights, that was actually not far off from Ethan. That would have been a great goal had that found the far corner. And 2 minutes later, Zek Obiero, again, in the thick of it, from a short corner, he turned his man inside out 3 times put the ball into the danger zone. As he got there from very close range, was denied by Lynch, and the ball was then put over the bar. I think we've spoken about Adji not being 100% fit. I think a 100% fit Adji scores that goal. That's quite a bad miss when you're looking back on the highlights. Mm. He's about 2 yards out.
Mm. Not should do better.
Straight at the keeper. Mm. Yeah, a bit disappointing there. Again, didn't really see that as clearly at the time in the setup than what I did in the North. He should have scored that.
Yeah. 41 minutes on the clock now. Following a poor pass from Omar Beckles, Fleetwood's Wiradu drove through on goal as the space opened up for him, but interventions from Solbrin collectively with Omar Beckles, who was recovering, managed to prevent him from scoring, and his shot was smothered out.
He had a good match there, Wiradu, number
four. I thought he was good. Probably I thought he was one of the standout players for them.
Driving them forward and winning most of his midfield battles as well. Absolutely. Good little player. 2 minutes additional time played with nothing further to talk about. The teams winning goalless at half-time.
Yeah, absolutely. The attendance for this one was announced at 8,249 with just 133
poor
people coming down from Fleetwood. Considering their survival was pinned on that game, that is a poor turnout. But kudos to the two or three coach loads that did make it down. And I thought that was a bit of a nothing half, really. I was expecting us to really get at them. We had a lot of the ball, again, a lot of passing backwards, sideways, across the back line, and this one is all comfortable and all very safe. Lack of movement up top, which obviously instigates the fact that, well, I'm not just going to launch it forward and turn over possession. Against a side that are literally battling for their lives, and we do literally the square root of not very much.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, looking at the front three, it's a good front three. You know, Adji, O'Neill on forward, that's a decent line. So I know players are out and missing, but that's a decent front three to have. Arguably,
Galbraith behind them, yeah.
Strong, yeah. And pretty much, you know, Galbraith is first team. Brown is pretty much first team. For the most part, that's pretty much a strong Orient team. Didn't really create much, so yeah.
Square pegs in square holes. That's exactly right. Left back at left back, right back at right back, a right footed centre back at right centre back, a left footed centre back at left centre back. And actually, that left footed centre back, Jack Simpson, I thought was really good yesterday. Boss there, whenever he was going in for a header, he pretty much won it.
Done well. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was really solid.
All right, no change at half time for the O's. In the 50th minute, from a short throw in, Sean Rooney put a cross in from the right, found Carl Johnson at the back post unmarked. But Solbrin made a very good save to deny him at Sol's near post. Poor defending from us. Switched off. Yeah, I mean, Johnson's literally got no one near him. Free header. But Solbrin does well. It is a Brin, and Brin does well to make the save. But if you put it across goal, he probably scores there. But well played Sol for making the save.
Right. So let's move on then to the 52nd minute. Dan Adji did well to beat Wiradu and drive along the byline. His cross came to Shaq Ford, who looked to curl one in, but Lynch palmed the effort away. But only as far as Zach Obiero, whose shot lacked power. Unfortunately, and Lynch managed to gobble that one up.
He certainly did. 55th minute in, quick counter-attack from a Fleetwood corner. Saw Ethan Galbraith play a lovely ball out to left to Ollie O'Neill, who drove forward, cut inside his man, and called a shot just wide of Lynch's goal. Lynch was nowhere there. If that was on target, it hits the net.
100%, and that is a goal. Penalty appeals for the O's in the 58th minute after Adji went down in the box. The referee wasn't interested. We looked at each other and went, nah, that's not a penalty. He's tried to do a Paul Smith there.
No, it works when you're a small man, going very fast. When you're a big man, not going as fast.
You're stacked.
No way. 66th minute, Solbrin was called into action again as a free kick was put into the box from Fleetwood, headed away only as far as Ryan Broom, who caught the ball on a volley, which was going straight into the bottom corner. Brin had to get down low and quick to make a decent save, which he did do. And again, that free kick on the highlights all comes from an Omar Beckles miscontrol.
Of course it does.
Gives away the free kick, yeah, and then that comes into the box. So the free kick preventable, but again, Brin done well there to make a save. Obviously, Brin's had a tough couple of weeks, but so far in this game, he's made two very good saves.
Yeah, the first Orient sub came in the 68th minute as Dan Adji was replaced by George Moncur.
He was a double sub a few minutes later for the O's. In the 75th minute, Jordan Brown was replaced by Darren Prattley. And Zach Obiero was replaced by Dan Adji. Cue the Darren Prattley songs from the South. Dan. Probably the best part of being in the 100%. Crowd that part yesterday. It was the only song really sung in unison, especially in the second half, from what I remember. It kind of re-galvanised the fans seeing Prattley.
I don't know who we could sing that to if Darren doesn't sign next year.
Sure, we'll find it for someone, but it does. Darren Prattley's got his own repertoire of songs that
it's amazing.
Will be missed if he ends
I think
up
he enjoys them as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course he does.
Yeah, I think he's like, I saw the smile on his face. And who else? Zach Obiero? Yeah, done it. All right, cool. Okay, 78 minutes on the clock then. Final changes for the Ozers. Jack Simpson was replaced by long-term injury.
Yeah.
Dan Happy. Rob Hunt was also replaced by Max Sarna. So great to see Dan come back out, and he did well.
He did. 81 minutes. Ollie O'Neill fired just wide after Tom James Cross came all the way out to him following a corner at the far side of the Fleetwood penalty area. But he drilled it, like I say, just didn't hit the target. And again, if it's a target, it's probably beating Lynch into the net. So another chance gone there for the O's.
4 minutes of additional time went up on the assistant referee's ball. And we were all like, how's that for only 4 minutes, yeah, considering the amount of, yeah, substitutions and time that had been lapsed? Anyway, game looking to be finished goalless, but it was the visitors who took all the points after they kept the ball alive following a cross, with Xavier Simons picking up the ball just outside the box, and his low effort just beat Solbrin and nestled in the bottom corner of the goal to make it 1-0 to Fleetwood in the 93rd minute.
Fleetwood done well there to keep the ball alive. They were just more on it than us. Xavier Simons, first EFL goal.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
It's their first double of the season, I think. Or they've done the double on us.
They've only won 9 games this season. Two have been against Leon Orient.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
So with no further talking points, I mean, that was pretty much one of the last kicks of the game. The referee brought our final home game of the 2023-24 season to an end with a 1-0 loss, which saw Fleetwood relegated as Burton won. And after a short break, the ladies team came out, followed by the board, and then followed by the first team squad for a bit of, I've got to say, a subdued and quite a quick lap of honour. That was very quick. They were across it and done and gone and dusted. Apart from Shaq Ford, apparently, went and pretty much spoke to every kid he could speak to. So I don't think I even saw Ford get to the south stand, because I think he was still literally making his way. So I guess credit to Shaq Ford. And Prattley signed a lot of stuff. I've seen a few videos of Prattley doing the rounds, but most of them couldn't do that lap of honour.
It's the only problem sitting in the south stand is that there is no access to the pitch to be able to do that. If you're in the west, the north or the east, to an extent, you can literally get pitch side and they can come. You can't do that in the south. So any kid in the south is a bit lost, because the only gate to get on the pitch
by the corner flags,
is directly behind the goal.
Yeah.
So they might not see you. Bit of a shame, really, but yeah. But kudos to all those that got shirts signed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy gave his shirt to someone, and I saw. So yeah, no, it's great, and it's yeah. I wish it was just a little bit more. Like you said, a little bit less. Like, oh, let's just quick clap and get off.
Yeah, and obviously Harold takes the plaudits, right? Because Harold's last appearance
home game,
at home game. But then obviously a lot of those lone players who we'd like to come back next season. I guess a lot of them we don't see at Brisbane Road next season. So it would have been nice to have a bit more of a focus towards them. I think Nigel said a few words on the tannoy. I think Matt Harrod did.
Richie
did. But yeah, obviously, when you concede a last minute goal, it's not going to be a whole bundle of fun anyway. And a lot of fans left
before
as well. So again, it felt like a massive anticlimax anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just didn't feel like a very happy, jovial lap of appreciation. It felt like just a lap of something going
just
on.
Par for the course, is what you have to do. Do it because you have to do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it didn't really have the side effect, I think. All right, Richie Wellens, although spoke to Barry Galvin on the pitch, went to speak to Dave Victor as he normally does after the game. So we're going to play it this week. It's quite a short interview. It's got Richie's thoughts on the team. He makes some very good points. Here's what Richie had to say post-match to Dave Victor.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Just how disappointed are you by the manner in which the sort of season ended here at Brisbane Road?
Yeah, very. Because I'm very professional. I want to keep my standards at the same level all the time, irrespective. You know, 12 months ago, we was trying to play against Crewe to win the league. And my mindset is exactly the same as that day as it is today. So I thought first half we were good, we were bright, we lacked the last little bit. But second half, just poor. Poor, too slow at the back, too many touches, passing back to Sol. I think in the first 20 minutes of the second half, the majority of the plays in that half, we've got all the ball and we don't play through lines, we don't play forward. And then in the last 20 minutes, the gaps are massive. They're obviously gambling at one point. You've got probably six in the line at the top end of the pitch. We don't counter very well. We get countered on our counter. So, it was a little bit messy, but a lot of games at the end of the season are messy. But yeah, very, very disappointed. And we got what we deserved, in a lot of the supporters leaving and not thanking them in a proper way.
Obviously, you're planning for next season. What would you have learned from today in terms of that?
No, we need some new players. We need four or five players that will come in and impact our team. There's certain players that we keep asking them to do things, but the same message is a week in, week out. And my patience is wearing thin. Because you, as a manager, you can only... Look at Zeca Berrio. He's only played four or five games. And he wants to practice, he wants to learn, he wants to take on board. Ethan Galbraith, the same. So to get to where we wanted to, or if we want to improve... Listen, if we want to be little old Leighton Orient and happy with finishing... You know, if you offered us 15th, 16th, 17th next year, it'd probably be another decent season, because next year is going to be really, really difficult. But I don't want that. No, I want to be getting in the playoffs. I want to be competing at the top end of the league. And to do that, we need to improve. These certain players that have been fantastic this year, but these certain players that have not given enough, and therefore the squad has been affected. If you look at, you go Portsmouth, Derby, Bolton, all the top teams, the top four or five teams, all of their players, all of their squad will have contributed, and we've had too many injuries and we've not had enough contribute.
Obiero is clearly very exciting. His contract's up. Are negotiations happening?
Yeah, I think we've offered him one weeks and weeks ago, so I'm just waiting for it to be signed, really. I think we're really recovered in terms of compensation, so I don't really see the need to worry there. I think it'll be fine.
And Dan Happy obviously came on. It's been a while. Again, his contract is up.
Again, we've offered Dan and Andrew L1 a number of weeks ago. We just wait to hear back from their representatives and see where we go. But I think Dan, in the first half of the season, was exceptional. Ruel has scored 11 goals this year. He could have had 20+. And I think if them two guys stay with us, then they'll improve more and further the career.
Just the one more game to go, Shrewsbury away, an early kickoff. How will you approach that one?
Matt will take the team next week as a thank you from me for his 2 years. I've obviously absolutely gutted to leave him. To lose him. But as a thank you for him, I'll let him take the team next week, and I'll watch the game from the stands.
He will be missed, won't he? Because Matt Howe's achieved so much in his 7 years here as a player, a coach, and sometimes as a manager.
Well, first and foremost, a good guy, a good person who you can laugh and joke with, you can socialise with him. But then, like, I want more people at his football club that want to improve, want to strive to be better, and Matt is a good example of that. So we wish him well. Obviously an exciting project for him in terms of a different role at a Premier League club, and obviously we all need to get to work in the coming weeks to try and replace him.
Thanks very much. Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
So that was Richie Welland's post Fleetwood after yesterday's game. Thanks as always to Dave Victor for sending that across to us. Makes a lot of good points. Bit of an update on the contract situation.
A bit
as
about
well.
The players, 4 to 5 players.
Yeah.
Needs in. And he's seen some players who aren't taking his messages on board. So some players have done fantastic this season, other players not so much. I guess as a fan's view, we've probably got our opinions, and obviously we'll speak about those in the season, but it'd be interesting to see who stays and who goes. Sounds like Richie, you know, you can have as much ambition as, or as little as ambition as what you want. Sounds like Richie is ambitious, wants to have more of a challenge next season in a harder league. So yeah, really interesting to see what is going to happen over the summer. Exciting as well as an Orient fan, I must
agree. Yeah, I mean, the summer always brings that excitement of like who you getting rid of the deadwood and what exciting players are you going to bring in. And it'll probably be another group of players that you've never heard of, like Ethan Galbraith or Jordan Brown, for example, for argument's sake. Or Ollie O'Neill for that matter, or Theo Archibald for that matter, or Jordan Graham for that matter. A bunch of players you never heard of that actually could do really well. And I think the route that we've gone down is to buy young and gifted players that have not made it at the clubs that they're at or whatever, for whatever reason, and you know, getting that and giving them a chance and working with a manager who likes the technical side of it, who thrives in that area, doesn't just want to come along and tell players how to, like, literally develop them. And I think that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need an A level in any kind of studies on anything to know that generally Richie wasn't happy with, right? He's kind of said it a few times about having kind of two kids on him. They've not done enough. He's mentioned how late we do our business numerous times post-January. So you imagine we won't leave it till so late. Some players, yes, have to come in late because there's obviously stuff happening at other clubs all the time. But I imagine they've already got a list of who they want as priorities, and they're already working towards that. I'd be very surprised if we don't see a few big signings or the majority of the signings much earlier than what we usually do.
I'd like to think so.
I think so.
I think we need to. we leave a lot of things far too late and we rely on other things to happen. You know, I think we need to be identifying players that, you know, want to come to us and aren't waiting for a better offer somewhere else. You know, the players that want to come and play for a club that have done as well as what we've done. We've won two championships in 6-7 years and we've got a top 10 finish so far this season. That might end up changing slightly. But yeah, there is a lot to be thankful for about the way our club is run, that you get paid on time, that you're treated properly, that you're involved in what's going on in the club, like Nigel does the monthly or bi-monthly updates with all the players, telling them what's going on. You're not treated like that at other clubs. Apparently, obviously I'm not at other clubs, so I don't know, but you know, that's just not how other clubs are run. So from that point of view, I think maybe we're not paying as much as another club. Okay, cool. If that is your sole motivation, then okay, maybe then Orient isn't for you. But if you want everything else to be right and have a decent wage, then Orient will be a good fit for you.
Yeah, big summer. In my opinion. Big summer for the club. Some big decisions to be made. We look forward to seeing them. So that loss sees us keep 10th place in League One. So that isn't absolutely pitch perfect yet. There are clubs now, because of our form recently, who can overtake us now. On the last day of the season, it looked for a while that we would finish 10th and that would be it. It's going to go down to the last game of the season. Hopefully, I'd quite like to finish 10th. It's got a nice little ring to it, finishing 10th in League One. We've been there for the last couple of weeks. It would be a shame if we didn't. So
long time. We could. I mean, Northampton are on 59 points in 14th. So if they, Wigan, Exeter, Wickham, if they all win and we don't, then we could end up as 14th. That would be the lowest we'd go. Which would still represent an improvement on last season.
Oh yeah, of course.
Played a bit disappointing.
Won 17, yeah. Drawn 11, lost 17. Goal difference of -4, I guess, which is disappointing. But 62 points. Like you said, if you're probably off the 14th being a season, you've probably gone, that's
where I thought we'd be.
But yeah. I guess just because of the trajectory, the way the season's gone, and that's kind of fizzled out over the last 3-4 games, because everyone feels a little disappointed. All right, Mr. Levy, let's have it. The last home game this season.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, just to jump back on your point, like your expectations get recalibrated during the season based on how well you're doing. Yeah. So it's never given. Right, yesterday, poor result, poor game.
Yeah.
All over. I don't think there's much else to say. I don't think some of the players weren't showing enough for me. I like Tom James. I don't think Tom James has coated himself in much glory when he's played recently. Some of his balls that he was pinging across pitch yesterday were superb. I thought he was very good. Like I said earlier, some of those out of contract, quite happy for them to leave. Some of those that are in contract, I feel, could also move on, free up their wages. Some of them are on decent wages that I think we could also free up and move on.
I think there's going to be a lot of, when we do our end of season pod and ask people who don't want to stay and want to go, I think there's going to be a lot of people saying they want X and Y to go who are under contract.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
Never.
It's not that easy. Never. Some of these players, and I think there's a centre forward who people would probably want to get out of the club.
Yeah.
He is, I imagine he's probably on a decent wage and it'll probably cost an awful lot of money to terminate a contract. Yeah. Unless a club comes in and wants him on loan for like a season or wants to do a kind of partial payment. So it's all well and good and we're the same. We'd like to see a few players go. It's not as easy as Football Manager putting a settled player and then the next week someone comes in with an offer, a nice offer, spot and you go, all right, fair enough. So, yeah, it's very hard to get rid of some of these players who might just go, actually, I've got another year left,
I've got a decent wage,
stable League One club, I might get a couple of appearances this season, maybe I'll look to go and loan in January, but I'm happy to sit here for the time being. It's quite difficult. So, yeah, it's a tough one to call out, isn't it?
It is. You really can't. Tough. Yeah, what we're saying sounds easy, but it's not easy. There's a lot that goes into a transfer.
Yeah, of course.
In general, like the players got to, like clubs can come in for them, but they've got to want to go to those clubs. They've got to like the manager, think that there is a future there for them, and also an opportunity for themselves to do well. Selfishly, do I have to relocate my family?
Yeah.
You know, can I live on the salary that they're offering me? Because if I'm on $4,000 a week at Orient and someone's offering me 1,800 quid, $2,000, maybe with a couple of bonuses on top of that, can I afford, based on my lifestyle and what I've got going on in my family, can I afford that? There's lots of if, buts and maybes, so it's not as easy as shifting players on like that. I thought yesterday, man of the match for me, was Zach Obiero. I know Ollie O'Neill got it, but I thought he did really well as well. Impressed by Jack Simpson. Not done much wrong for me.
Yep.
Reads the ball well, reads the game well. Quite the talker. Wins his headers. quite a physical guy. He's a lot bigger than what you might think.
Yeah.
And you could just see he's one or two steps ahead of those attacking players that he's marking. So, yeah, you can see there's championship quality there. I hope we offer him a contract. I'd like to think that if we did and it was a sensible contract for him, it'd make sense for him to stay with us. I'd like to think that that would go hand in hand. But again, that's probably for our end of season one. But yeah, that was it. Shame to end, you know, the home fixtures on that kind of a fixture, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Really. Nothing really got you out of your seats at any point. I think the highlight of the second half was the Dan Pratley song, like, ultimately. And it wasn't like the football on the pitch. I don't think anyone was really poor. I don't think anyone, I could say, gave a poor, poor performance. It was just very lacklustre. Just no one really busting a gut. I'm not even busting a gut to win the game. It's just a bit meh.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like an end of season game. You know, I still expect to see more than that from some of the players. Some of those players, whether they're loan players who are going back to their parent clubs or players who probably know they haven't done enough to get a new contract. It's the last time they played at Brisbane Road. That's our last memory of some of those players. And
yeah.
Just wasn't anything to it, really. Didn't create many chances. Not many players looked really ready to drive us forward or any kind of initiative. I've got to say, Zek looks a tidy player. He just does the basics right. He just wins the ball and just makes the right passes. It's very exciting him. Like you said, Simpson looks good. Got to say, I'm a bit concerned about Dan Adjei. Limping again, like, under challenges, I didn't think were particularly that hard on him. A couple of times where he got up, and you could see at the end he was struggling a little bit.
Mm.
His fitness concerns me a little bit. I mean, great player. Don't get me wrong. When we've seen him go on 6-7 games runs of starting, he will score goals. My concern is, after having him this season, he's played, what, 7 or 8 as a starter? Not enough. I want to see more of him. And yesterday, there's a few challenges where he got up quite sluggishly. And it might have to him just come back from a recent injury. But that does concern me about Dan Adjei slightly.
I think get Dan Adjei in a good pre-season, a full pre-season.
Have him roaring to go. Yeah. I got to say, though, if you're Joe Piggott, what are you thinking? Barely got a look in the last couple of games. Edwards is getting on ahead of him.
See,
Adu Adjei is getting on ahead of him.
Yeah.
Piggott... If you're a Piggott, what are you thinking? I mean, I just don't...
Or what is going on?
I just don't know. I just don't know what happens with his future at all. He's one of those players who's under contract. You'd imagine he's got a pretty decent contract. Obviously, Richie does not fancy him. You can tell that a mile off. Not one that Richie rates, you can tell. He's getting on the kids before him. Don't know what happens with Piggott on that one. Shame to see, like I said, Bryn. That's Bryn's last game for him. Ford, you know... Brings the last minute of football, is picking the ball out of the net and a 1-0 defeat. It's not the way you'd want to sign off on that one. Again, Pratley and Harold. If Pratley's football career ends with that, disappointing way to go out. If that's the end of Happy's on your career, or disappointing way to go out, I just hope it's not. Same about Harold, quite disappointed. Although, I've got to say, way to go out of Brisbane Road, there's still one game left to play, so it's not their last kick of
the ball. No, it's all about...
But that's the way at Brisbane Road.
At your home ground.
Harold, happy to see Harold get his ovation, deserved it. Fair play.
Yeah.
All in all, just a bit of a strange day, really. I does think it shows you. There was something that Richie said at the end where he was talking about Bolton and Derby and Portsmouth. Portsmouth are already out of the league.
Yeah.
You imagine Derby go up. You imagine Bolton might go up out of the playoffs. And they're much, much stronger than Orient, right? Like, there's no comparison between those clubs and Orient. It struck me yesterday that's always going to be the case in League One. I don't know what happened, but I was going... Yeah, but next season, you've got
Rotherham possibly.
Well, in terms of who's coming down as a starting point, Rotherham already down. Huddersfield look like they're going to come down.
Birmingham.
Either Birmingham, yeah.
Or Sheffield Wednesday.
Maybe Sheffield Wednesday, who won today, or Plymouth, or Blackburn. All three of those clubs are much bigger than Leyton Orient. You've got a roller coaster coming from League Two up in the form of Wrexham.
Mansfield and Wrexham, yeah.
First thing one of our US investors done last week. His tweet about looking forward to Wrexham playing at Brisbane Road. It shows you the significance of Wrexham in the US market. They will invest heavily. They can get around PBL and all of that because their sponsorship deals are miles ahead of anyone.
You think
it's going to be it's going to be so difficult. And then you think in the playoffs, you've got Bolton, probably Peterborough, Barnsley, Oxford. Only one of those is going up. So it still leaves the majority of those clubs still in League One to battle.
It's a tough league.
It's a tough old league. These players are going to have to be on it next season. And that recruitment has to be
Spot on.
And you're getting rid of smaller clubs like Carlisle, Cheltenham, Fleetwood and Port Vale.
Yeah.
Like smaller clubs.
Yeah.
In terms of budget and spend and crowds and that.
And there's teams like the season like Cheltenham who have massively underperformed.
Yeah.
Blackpool who probably have massively underperformed. Wigan. The doing it. Wigan.
With the points deduction. Reading.
Crazy division. It's going to be
top. It'll be very elitist next season, isn't it?
Next season. All right. I'm sorry to bring anyone down in my views. That's just the way I was feeling at that one. All right. Your views. Plenty of views coming up full time, I guess, as you would expect for the last home game. And just because we read these doesn't mean we agree with them. The Untold Game started off. The Untold Game is normally very positive. I've noticed this. There's a lot of positive accounts normally.
Switched.
The last couple of weeks, who just haven't been as happy with the performances. He says, one of the worst teams I've seen all year, and we've given them 6 points. Absolutely embarrassing way to end the season at home. That'll help ticket sales.
Yeah. Patrick One Flood said, we've been in terrible since the Exeter at home that game. I know the season is over as such, but losing to this lot at home is the pits.
Yeah, Adam Reeves too said, typical Orient build up far too slow and too many sideways and backwards passing. Got the players to attack teams, but spend too much time with pointless passing. Those subs as well were absolute rubbish. What is the point of Moncur?
Richard J. Bourne said, for a team in the bottom four to do the double over us is shocking. The last couple of games had nothing on them but a chance to prove yourself for a contract hasn't worked. Tom James especially.
Mark Ross 63689509 said, we've really limped through the last 5 weeks. Really poor. We all know who needs to be let go or taken off the wage bill. We need to be ruthless and can't have any sentiment. Having such a poxy January window has set the tone.
Don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think now, you know, we've come up with players that we had in League Two, and I think unfortunately now is the time that we need to say goodbye to some of them.
Big summer.
And it is going to be a big summer. Absolutely right. Especially in the back. We've got no recognised first choice goalkeeper because Sol Brim will go back to Middlesbrough.
Yep.
Tom James and Rob Hunt are out of contract. So that's left back and right back. Jaden Sweeney is the only left back. Dan Happy is obviously left footed. Jack Simpson is out of contract.
It's a rebuild.
It is a rebuild. So we'll have three centre backs. So if Richie goes three, then that's fine, but we've got no subs.
Big old job.
James O. Hagen said, typical frustrating Orient. I will take solace in the knowledge we have a foundation of a decent squad to build on, a few decent signings, and maybe keep a few as fringe players for depth, and I think we'll have a good season next year. Is what it is, up the O's.
Theo Archibald in said, I thought Bryn was outstanding, but we just kept trying silly long balls. Great to see Happy back and Adji starting. Also thought Adu Adje's work rate was exceptional.
It was. He chased down a lot. John W 999 that said it had 0-0 written all over it until it didn't. Slow build up play and Adji, the only striker who causes any problems, would be disappointing to have a bottom half finish.
Yeah, it would be now, given I guess 100%. The expectancy. Yeah, absolutely. Matty LFC Evans said players I suspect of one eye on the spring break ahead of Richie needs to not hold sentiments and ship out those who aren't up for the job next season. For me, at least seven. Up for it.
I'd like to know who those seven are, Matty, but that can be saved for our end of season podcast that we'll do the roundup. Orient Boy said, to be honest, gutted. What a way to leave us for the summer. Plus, puts top 10 finish at risk. Four teams now can pass us next week. Very disappointing. Fleetwood have won 9 all season and 2 of them are against us. Understand perspective, but deflated. The lap of honour, but deflated the lap of honour too.
Good point, Ez. I think many good points. I want to see Flatas. So we ran out of gas ages ago. The message is for the board. Lovely to finish 10th and us, the fans, are very grateful. But if we wish that extra little better, there is need for depth to compete in a very aggressive third tier for years to come.
Dear Stu said, absolutely pathetic. Only two players could give a toss, Obiero and Galbraith. The whole spine of the team needs sorting from goalkeeper to centre forward. A lot of wage thieves in the squad and have proved that they don't deserve another contract or even seeing out their current contract. Big summer coming.
Again, another positive account normally for the most part. A bit annoyed at yesterday's performance. Painting oriented. Ultimately, today was the prelude to some significant change to personnel and time for next season. There's certainly a promising nucleus to take forward, but the team will inevitably and increasingly become a different proposition compared to the squad that took us out of League Two. Great point. Well articulated.
Yeah, Carlos East 18 said, disappointment is the word. A flat performance that was bad enough at 0-0, but to lose in the last minute to a relegated team was poor. Galbraith, O'Neill and Obiero were the positives, and some excellent saves from Bryn despite the odd flappy moment.
JMAU Ray 72 said, I thought we started well, moved the ball forward quicker. Shaq, Ollie and Adji caused them problems then. As what seems to happen often, we ran out of ideas. The play slowed down and we lost control of the game. We should have won. No intensity at all in that second half.
Barry, BU55440116, said, week after week we see the same slow build-up from defence. Square or back passes allowing opponents time to settle, with the occasional boot up towards Ollie or Dan to run onto. Richie complains about this time after time, but our defence doesn't seem to get his message.
Daniel underscore D44 said, typical end of season game. Obiero looks like he could be a quality player for us next season. Hopefully we don't have a wholesale clear up, but we really need to get a centre forward, but so do most clubs in the country.
Yeah, it's also true. Tom Davies E17 said, a generally positive LOFC season ending as an utter damp squib. Suspect we won't even finish in the top half now. Still, Obiero was encouragingly good today amid the dullness.
Rob JB 1974 said, today was embarrassing. Fans pay every week to see the team play, and just because we are safe should not mean the team switch off for the last parts of the season.
Steve the F1 said, the performance just stank the place out today. Let's hope we don't have to watch another 20 minutes of passing the ball across the back four at Shrewsbury next week. Seriously need to add some power and drive to the midfield this summer.
Okay, Big Lash said, so with one game left, I take this away. Would have took 19th on the last day in a heartbeat. Comfortable with table is way above expectations. Need to be the next season. The playoff promotion push is in our hands, but keeping Richie is key.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure some news will come out in the week or soon after about that. Dan William H said, I wanted to give a massive shout out to Shaq Ford yesterday. Made my two sons' day signing shirts and having a photo taken with them. He must have spent going on an hour speaking to all the kids. The only other player to do this was Prattley. I understand it was a disappointing performance, but it's these things which last a lifetime with the kids. More so than any performance or goal. Whatever Shaq's future, I hope it's very successful and hopefully it's with the O's.
Nice tweet.
Yeah, nice tweet. Good player as well, Shaq. He's done well playing in a position that wasn't his position because he's a striker.
He's a year younger than Kane Edwards. The difference between them.
Yeah, it's night and day, isn't it?
Astounding. Bear in mind, Shaq Ford was on loan last season at a National League North team and he hasn't looked out of place in League One. And his parent club are only one division above us. Be interesting what happens with Shaq Ford next season. Final wording goes to our South Stand chum, the birthday boy, Orient underscore Ed. So if there was any game that was a glorified pre-season friendly, then that was it. Completely flat on all fronts, although Obiero looks a real talent. Magnificent performance again. All the rest did nothing. Big shout out to the Ginger Pele. He will be missed. And wish him all the best.
So those were our views as well as your views. Do you agree or disagree with any of the tweets we've read out? Let us know what you think for the final time at home this season or in Outlook on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, whatever Elon's calling it these days. We're on Instagram, that's Orient underscore Outlook underscore podcast. You can search us on Facebook, just search Orient Outlook podcast. You can email us if you're not on social media. Happy to hear from you that way. We are Orient Outlook at Outlook.com.
Alright, time for the Saltire Orient Prediction League update. Only one correct prediction out of all of the ones we had yesterday. So Steve White, LOFC, took the 3 points. So it means that the Prediction League is going down to the final day of the season. Currently leading on 28 points is Dave Brew, 4797-6911. 25 points is Rio underscore Orient and Steve Chaplin, 4. On 24 points, Eastside Orient, Paul R. Gregory and Theo the Wire Vernon. On 23 points, Dan William H. and LOFC Therese, that's highly likely that one of those is going to win our prediction league. Thanks to everyone for all their predictions. And the next update, we will reveal who wins the prediction
league. If it's a 0-0 draw, then it's going to be very difficult for anyone that isn't on 25 points. So well done to you for managing that all season, Mr. Nussbaum. So 21st of April, Sunday, today as we record, Mark Devlin tweeted in response to a Loft post on social media this afternoon that there will be an announcement on Tuesday stating that there will be a 2-week extension to the season card renewal deadline, which is at the end of this or 2nd of May.
Yeah,
I think it is. So it's going to be an extra couple of weeks.
All right, so if you haven't done it yet,
don't worry, there is time. I think people are just waiting for payday.
Absolutely, I agree with you. All right, the ladies were in action today. And with their dreams of the Great London Premier League title still alive, they travelled the short distance to Walthamstow to face an already relegated London Academical side. Having narrowly beaten the Accies twice earlier in the season, once in the league and once in the cup, confidence was high. Although the home side recently beat table-topping Comets, so clearly they have something about them.
Yeah, the O's needing to win the final 3 games to stay in the title chase set about their business in convincing fashion on the AstroTurf and started making good chances. It was no surprise when, after 25 minutes, teenage star Chloe Cabot ran onto a clever ball over the top from Hannah Jenks and ran on to beat the keeper at the near post. A signature Cabot goal.
Love it. Ladies, from E10 side, looked comfortable, but on the half-hour mark, a similar high-looping shot like the one conceded last Sunday, the scourge of the women's game, did us again, levelled things up, and that remained the case until half-time. Teams were in 1-1.
Yeah, Chloe Cabot had already played a full game for the under-18s the previous day and was replaced by top scorer Leanne Bates at 50 minutes. But it was the O's who were mostly on the front foot. It was the way the away sides turned to be rattled when the Ackies hit an 87th minute goal, which many thought would be the winner.
Now, you never go or leave a ladies' game early because there's always a plethora of late goals when these ladies play.
Drama.
Jordan Feldman had other ideas for the O's. She got on the end of a great cross from Hannah Jenks again and planted a firm header in at the far post in the 91st minute to make it 2-2.
Yeah, Jordan had more to say when she found the energy to run through to collect a chip from Leanne Bates and take it round the keeper for a winning tap-in. Last gasp winners seem to be something of a trademark for the
ladies.
They
done exactly the same last week to win the game, yeah. But sadly, matters beyond our control saw title rivals Richmond win 4-2 at Camden Town, and that has put the championship for the O's out of reach. So the top two, Richmond and Comets, play each other in the season's final match next Sunday. And no matter the result, the Leighton Orient ladies cannot now reach the summit. Great update there.
Superb update from the ladies. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And the depth of information in that is very much appreciated. Yeah. Well done, ladies, on your win. No shame at all to finish third in your first season in a new league. Absolutely outstanding. And they did a nice round of applause and march around the pitch as well. So let's wrap this up then. Where are we now? 71 minutes on the clock here. So we, as you will know by now, round up with starting with our fancy football players.
We do.
Who's at the top?
Josh Abrahams leads the way on 2,155 points. He's 30 points ahead now of Elliot Pearce, so he's doing very well. I'm in 219th place out of 374 players. Had an alright week, but obviously there's a lot of double game weeks this week.
Must
so
be,
we're only halfway through the week. But well done to Josh. Don't forget, if you're playing in our league, go and check out where you are in the league and see what you're doing. Yeah. There'll be more fantasy football twists and turns in the coming weeks, I fear.
Indeed. So let's move on then to the positives and negatives. Lindsay Martin's award will kick off this week's positives.
Yeah, well done, Lindsay. Yeah, also second positive. Great to see Dan Happy back in the squad. I imagine he might start next week.
I would imagine so.
I imagine. Look to see how emotional he is at full-time whistle. That's what I would say about Happy next week.
Yeah, possibly.
If he's crying,
he's gone.
Tells you what you need to know. If he's happy, it's Dan happy.
Also, another positive that Dan Agge started his first game since January.
Yeah, it'd be interesting where he starts next weekend. Yeah. Like if he starts with Agge again, or maybe Pigger, or tries to give one of the lone kids one last kind of hurrah on the pitch. It'd be interesting to see what happens. All right, negatives. Performance result versus Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Not a game that anyone's going to talk about other than this podcast, right? Done. Get rid of it. Don't want to talk about it ever again.
Yeah, the loss of Matt Harold to the coaching staff on that side of things, I think he does bring a lot in, so that's going to be a bit of a negative, but you know, good people will always move on to better things. That's what happens.
Looks great if you're one of the coaching staff. It's great that you've got someone else out of the building to a Premier League club to work at Bournemouth.
Of course it is.
Fantastic. Yeah. Last negative, again, is just the injury list. Lots of players missing yesterday through injury. Hopefully most of those will be back for the beginning of pre-season. But yeah, it was just been a problem all season, hasn't it? Really, for the most part. So three negatives, three positives to work it out. So here of the week probably won't come as any surprise to anyone who's just heard us talk about our views based on the match. This week's hero of the week is
Zach Obiero. Well played, Zach. You've showed yourself to be absolutely standout and absolutely superb. I think, you know, if Ollie O'Neill hadn't done so well yesterday, I think you probably would have been mentioned as the official man of the match, but you were our man of the match, and I think those around us thought you'd been standout as well. So well played to you. Next week's fixtures, the final game of the season is upon us. It is on Saturday, the 27th of April. It is a 12:30 kickoff.
That means a 9:30 prediction league tweet. It's very early.
Yeah, I have to set an alarm for that one. 12:30 kickoff. So we are off to Shrewsbury Town. They're 18th in the league. They drew 1-1 away at Charlton over the course of this weekend. They've not won in their last six games, at least, but in their last five, they've drawn three and lost 2.
Good result for them away at Charlton.
Yeah, you'd take that.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd take that all day long. So if you are going, have a safe journey. Tweet us on the way, during the game, or even on your way home. We'd love to see people's journeys there. It's a nice part of the world as well. Obviously, if you are going on the Supporters Club coach, it's leaving at 6:30 in the morning, which is seems a tad early, but it's about 2 or 3 hours, I think, on the coach. But good luck, safe travels if you are going. Kudos to you.
All right, do not forget, before we finish this one, to get in touch with Carol Langley Floris. Get them on the phone, 0208 529 4130, or you can get in contact with our social media, like we mentioned at the top of the pod, Carol Langley E4 or Essex Biz on Twitter. They're on Instagram at Carol Langley Floris, and they're on Facebook at Carol Langley Floris. If you want to talk to John, hopefully he'll be at Starman with us, so will I. So if you listen to the podcast and never seen us before, come and say hello. We'll be there celebrating the end of the season, hopefully celebrating an Orient win on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Just how well things have done,
gone
for us this season. So that is it. Thank you very much indeed for joining us for episode number 354. And in a fairly quiet week at the O's, we all look forward to the visit of Fleetwood Town. Really expecting quite an easy victory in our final home game of the season. But unfortunately, we did a very Orient thing. It never goes that way, does it? As we were looking to, before the game, we'd have settled for a point. We lost the game to a late goal, leaving a fairly dejected Brisbane Road applauding the women's team, the board and the squad off the pitch, some of whom will be wearing an O's will be seen wearing the O's colours for the very last time,
unfortunately. Yeah, next week brings it to the end to another season, like we said, off to Shrewsbury, and hopefully we've got our fingers crossed for 3 points to end the season, and you can hear about it in our next episode. So if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe, give our podcast a 5-star rating. We've got 107 5-star ratings on iTunes. It'd be nice to get to 110 by the time the season ends. So if you listen on iTunes and haven't done that, don't be horrible. Come and show some love for yourself, Stan Chums. Do that. If you're listening on Spotify, there's various ways that you can rate the show. You can rate the show if you listen out of 5 stars. That'd be lovely if you can do that. We've got 118 5-star ratings. It'd be nice to get to 120 by the time the season ends. You can also leave a comment on each episode as well. So if you enjoyed an episode, please put a comment on there. Let us know what you thought. If you're not on social media or if you're on Spotify, that'd be great. And if you are on any other platform, don't forget to add us your favourites on there or to give us a follow on your chosen podcast provider. And that way you'll get all the episodes as soon as they are available. We are also on all smart speakers. We are on the FanHub app. We are on YouTube. Anywhere you want to go and listen and consume your media, we will find us there. If you've got an older relative, a loved one, an Orient chum, someone who's going to become a season ticket next season, someone who's bored on the way to Shrewsbury, someone you're looking at on the train who looks bored, grab their headphones, grab their mobile, grab their laptop, their whatever, get the podcast on for them and get them involved with the OOP, Pass the Pod.
Absolutely. Thank you once again to Matt Simpson, who came on earlier in the show.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, talking about the circus upstairs. Absolutely fantastic, and he's chronicled a very difficult period during our career, our history. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Look, we'll be back next week with episode 355. That's going to be on Monday, the 29th of April, because you're at the Starman Awards. So we'll have all the views, news, gossip from the Starman, what happened, what didn't happen.
Hopefully it won't be as gossipy as the Kevin Nolan evening.
Genius. Absolute genius.
In the autobiography that comes out of your Outlook podcast one day, we'll go into much further insight than that. I mean, that was a crazy day in the office. Amazing.
That was brilliant. We look forward to hearing from you throughout the course of the week. And as always, keep calm, stay safe, have a great week, and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's.